fellow geek brethren, you have come to the right place for all of your gaming, gadgets, technology, anime, video games, comic books, and anything else you can think of. It is GeekSpeak here at SpeakGeekSpeak.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, live from Brooklyn, New York, Ian Levenstein. Hey there, everybody. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to GeekSpeak here at SpeakGeekSpeak.com. This is episode 41.5 of GeekSpeak. There's not going to be a formal episode of GeekSpeak this week as well. I am about to be heading over to a wedding. My girlfriend's brother is getting married, and obviously, due to that, I am not going to be able to do the normal recording on this upcoming Thursday. So I figured I might as well just give you a quick blurb here of what has been going on since the last episode came out. And the iTunes situation has been solved, which is certainly a good thing at that. The new feed for GeekSpeak is actually feeds.feedburner.com/speakgeekspeak. That is the new feed, and we are once again located on iTunes. There's a link to the new iTunes feed for GeekSpeak in the link section of the GeekSpeak page and also in a previous post, which I did right before recording this episode. So you'll be able to find that over there. And also, you might notice that this sounds a bit different. Well, that's because I've gone to a brand new microphone. And I seem to do that a lot, but this time I'm really, really happy with the results. It's not that I don't like my Blue Snowball, it's that I'm probably going to have to send that into the shop, as it does not want to work with Skype, even after all this time. And that's really what I would be using it for. So instead, I went over to Radio Shack, and I got myself the Logitech Stereo USB Headset 250. Now, the 350 is a slight upgrade from the 250. However, the 250 was the only thing that they had, so I ended up getting the 250 instead. And, well, all I can say is that I have been waiting so long to be able to hear my words come back to me when recording. Oh, God, I missed this so much. With the Blue, there would just be so much latency that I just would not be able to hear anything. Obviously, with having a headset, I can hear what I'm saying into the microphone before it goes into the computer, which is a mega, mega advantage to having a headset. The microphone itself is a noise-canceling microphone, which actually helps a lot when doing the recordings, because there's usually at least some sort of buzz in my room, and it seems like that buzz is being canceled out very, very well with this microphone. Also, the headphones are noise cancel as well. Now, the one issue I have with the headphones is that they're very, very small. And I say that as they're round headphones that go right onto your ear. So if you have really big ears, these are not the headphones for you. This is not the headset for you. Go for the 350, which I believe actually has a bigger set of earphones, or go with an entirely different headset, because this is not going to be comfortable for you. This is just barely comfortable for me. The bar on the top of the headset, which keeps the headset together, is also a bit uncomfortable, but not terrible where I wouldn't want to wear this on a regular basis. Actually, it gets the job done, and that's what I'm really looking for here. So expect me to use this a bit more often with my recordings for GeekSpeak, as once again, like I said, chances are when I come back from this wedding, which will probably be in about a week, I'm going to be bringing my Blue Snowball into the shop. This will be the main microphone that I end up using. And again, it sounds good enough for me to actually want to use it on a regular basis, and hopefully it will sound damn good on a regular basis and not be bad with the recordings. The one thing that still pisses me the hell off, and I don't know whether it's just in Logitech microphones or whether it's just my setup here, but for some reason, even when deselected inside of Skype, Skype seems to control the volume of my microphone, which is a bit of a pain in the ass. It doesn't do it to the point where I can't hear what's going on and people can still hear me, but it's a bit annoying. And again, this is probably not the microphone that's doing it, probably my setup, but nevertheless, it's a giant pain in the butt. I'll give this a 4 out of 5 for now. Obviously, I need more time to actually get a full review of this and to know exactly what it sounds like, but so far, so good, and that's what I'm really liking. The main focus of this quick episode here is going to be a movie which I finally saw, and that, of course, is Unbreakable. Now, for those of you who haven't seen Unbreakable, it came out in 2000, and this is M. Night Shyamalan, okay, fine, M. Night Shyamalan's follow-up to The Sixth Sense. Now, it has nothing to do with The Sixth Sense whatsoever, it just happens to star Bruce Willis, and that is the best way to put this here. Unbreakable might very well be the best superhero movie I've ever seen in my life. And what I like the most about it is that it's not technically a superhero movie. This is the best way to describe it. I'm going to give you the plot summary that they have here on IMDb. This suspense thriller unfolds as the audience is introduced to David Dunn, played by Bruce Willis. Not only is he the sole survivor of a horrific train crash that killed 131 people, but he didn't have a scratch on him. Samuel L. Jackson plays an obscure character who approaches Dunn with a seemingly far-fetched theory behind it all, rocketing off an enticing thriller with a sci-fi twist. What Samuel L. Jackson's character is the complete opposite of Bruce Willis's character. Elijah Price is his name. Elijah is born with a rare bone condition where if he hits himself ever so slightly on anything, his bone will just shatter. And he's had so many broken bones in his life that he's been looking for the opposite of him. He's been looking for the longest time for somebody that is impervious to harm, because he's a comic book collector and has been his entire life. Comic books have gotten him through a lot of times in his life, and I can relate to that, actually, because comic books have always been there. You know, I mean, no matter what changes happen in your life, you'll still have those comic books to read when you come back, or when you're on a long train ride or a long bus ride, or you're in a hospital or anything like that. They're a comfort. That's exactly what comic books have been for Elijah Price. He finds David Dunn. And by the way, David Dunn, classic comic book name. I love the fact that it rolls off the tongue. It's got the double consonant name, like Reed Richards or Lois Lane or something along those lines, or Peter Parker. David Dunn fits right into that superhero thing. They couldn't get the permission to use Action Comics in this, so they use Active Comics. And Sentry Man is the guy who Elijah Price looks up to the most. Which is kind of interesting, because when you think about it, Sentry, Marvel Comics character, is pretty much a rip on Superman. So Sentry Man is a combination of the Sentry and Superman, I guess that's the best way to put it. And it's also really funny that they were able to get permission to use Marvel Comics in this, because you see Thor on the shelf and you see Amazing Spider-Man and all that, but there's no DC Comics. Why? Because it's a Touchstone movie. And Warner Brothers is not Touchstone, so they weren't able to get the permission. Eh, what are you going to do? At least when Ben Affleck comes out with his movie on George Reeve, they've allowed him to use the Superman emblem in that. But I digress. That's another story for another time. Back to the main plot here. Unbreakable is all about a guy who is trying to figure out whether or not he belongs in this world, whether or not he's just a cast-off in a society that's nothing like him, because David Dunn literally is unbreakable. He is a superman, but not in the aspect where he wants to go put on tights and start making a difference. No, he wants to do the smaller things. He works as a security guard at a local sports arena, and he stops a lot of people who would have caused trouble, because he sort of has this sense about what's about to happen. He could see into the very close future or the past so that he'll know who to look out for. And he does this on a regular basis. His son, played by Spencer Treat Clark, who is Joseph Dunn, absolutely latches on to the idea of his father being a Superman, because you know what? Every father to every little kid is a Superman. Whether he has powers or not, you're going to look up to your father. And now Joseph has even more of a reason to do so because, well, he's realizing that his father might be a superhero, which just elevates him to no end. Joseph keeps trying to test him to see whether or not he can, you know, get him to do bigger and better things and so on and so forth. He's a great character. He's not the type of kid that you find whiny or annoying. This is a real, true-to-life character, and I related to him very well. Audrey Dunn, David's wife, is played by Robin Wright Penn, and a beautiful job by Robin Wright Penn in this as well, because their marriage is completely falling apart when this movie starts off. Even when they go to the hospital to find out whether or not David's all right, Audrey doesn't know what to do when David walks out there, because obviously their son goes right up to him and, you know, hugs him and all that. She stays back because she's not quite sure how to react to this, which is very telling there of where they are in their relationship. As the movie goes on to try and rebuild things, Unbreakable yet again. Is this marriage unbreakable? We don't know. Hopefully we'll be able to find that out. We find out also that this is not the first accident that David Dunn has been in the past. There was a car accident, and Audrey was in that as well, which stopped his football career. I'm not going to give anything away about that. You just have to go see the movie, because there's a lot of twists involved with that as well. He also has his own kryptonite. I'm not going to say what it is. The fact remains that this movie is just absolutely outstanding. I don't understand why people just did not like this, because there was an original plan to actually make three movies out of this. Unbreakable would be number one, and then from there they'd make two others. Sam Jackson, performance of his life right here, because you can tell Sam Jackson is a fan of this stuff, as is M. Night Shyamalan, obviously, because he wouldn't have wanted to make a movie like this unless he was a fan of comic books. But Sam Jackson completely latches onto Elijah Price's character and plays it beautifully. Bruce Willis, you put Bruce Willis in a movie, you have M. Night Shyamalan direct it, it will be good. That's why I want to see Bruce Willis and M. Night Shyamalan get their collaboration back on, and maybe have him back in a couple of his movies, and maybe M. Night Shyamalan will find himself again, because I hated The Village. I could say that straight up. I love The Sixth Sense, I love The Unbreakable. The Village is just not for me. I don't understand why Unbreakable just did not work with some people, because it worked on so many levels for me. And I guess it's could be because if you're not a comic book fan, then this is not going to resonate nearly as much as it would for the typical comic book fan, I guess. But guess what, folks? I am the typical comic book fan. I ate this up with a spoon. Because we've all wondered at least once in our lives, if you're a geek, you probably wondered this at least once, what would life be if you found out that you had superpowers? How would you use these powers? Would you use them for good? Would you use them for evil? Would you use them to rob banks? Would you use them to stop people from robbing banks? Would you use them to help your family? Would you keep it to yourself? Or would you go out there and try and save the world? So many questions. So little time to get answers. At the same time, you're wondering this entire time, is he a superhero? Is he a fluke? Are these powers real? David Dunn eventually finds out that, yeah, these are pretty much real powers. Elijah Price was right. But there's plenty of twists in this movie that I'm not going to give away here. You got to go see it. If you have not seen this before, it came out in 2000. It's available on DVD. And the DVD transfer, I got to say, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous DVD transfer. I don't say that about a lot of DVDs, because every now and then you'll find the occasional blip in the radar. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. This isn't even a digital film transfer. Obviously, it was just filmed on regular old film, not digital film. But it just, oh my god, it's absolutely gorgeous. The colors are amazing. It's so crisp and so clean that you just need to see this on DVD at least once. And the deleted scenes are very powerful as well. There are a couple of deleted scenes in there that just tell you so much more about the characters. And obviously you can see why they were left out, because some of them were just unnecessary in the scheme of the movie. But they do an amazing job of letting you get into the head of the characters in this world and David Dunn himself. So go out there, get yourself Unbreakable. And let me know what you think. Let me know whether or not you're one of the ones who didn't really see the point of the movie, or whether or not you're the ones who absolutely love it. Because like I said, this is the quintessential comic book movie to me. Because it's not about a comic book character, but it's about a superhero in our world. What would it be like if you experienced this? David Dunn experiences this. David Dunn becomes this. Will he be able to use his powers the way he wants to? Will he be able to stop feeling as if there's something missing in his life? Because that's what he feels at first in this movie, that he's not doing something. When he starts acting with his powers, that's when he starts feeling fulfilled. And go ahead and see this if you haven't, because then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about here. Amazing, amazing movie. And if you're a fan, if you're a geek, if you're a nerd, if you're a dweeb, if you grew up on comic books, you gotta see this. And that's the best way to put it. with that, I'm going to end this episode right here because I got to get myself some packing done and I got to get myself some editing done on Comic Timing episode 11 before I wrap things up here. The email address for GeekSpeak is speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. That's speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. Once again, I will keep the old feed for GeekSpeak up and running for at least another 30 days, but I am going to be shutting it down after that. And the new feed is feeds.feedburner.com/speakgeekspeak. That's feeds.feedburner.com/speakgeekspeak. That's where you'll find the new link for GeekSpeak. And also, we're back on iTunes. So anybody who wants to directly download GeekSpeak from iTunes can do so. Just follow the link on the main page of GeekSpeak in the link section. And don't forget to send us your iTunes reviews, as they are always helpful. And now that we won't have the old reviews on there, it'd be nice to get a couple of people back involved in this. Don't forget to vote for GeekSpeak on Podcast Alley. The links are in the show notes and on the main page. And don't forget to check out those forums over at speakgeekspeak.com/forums. So until I get back from this wedding, I'm Ian Levinstein. Have a great week. Enjoy your geek. And we'll be back with a full episode of GeekSpeak, episode 42, when I get back. So enjoy your week, folks, and I'll see you next time on GeekSpeak.